Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host for today, Medical Remus. Drew Mandela attended the game in his seats. I'm standing here with Richard Pollock, high above the press box at MTS Center, where the Montreal Canadiens just defeated the Winnipeg Jets 3-0. And, you know, the Jets came off, you know, they had lost three in a row. They played a New Jersey team that was at the end of a road trip, and they beat them essentially 1-0.
A winless New Jersey team.
So this was a much bigger test than Sunday. And the Jets came out totally flat in the first 2 minutes.
Becoming a trend.
You know, which has becoming a trend this season. And they were unable to get the puck out of their own zone. They were trapped in there. And, you know, the puck bounces around, and after 2 minutes, it ends up right behind Andre Pavlik.
Yeah, the first 2 minutes, Michael. Great cycle game by Montreal. Great puck pressure. Great skating. Great puck movement. I mean, it was just, that's the way you run an offensive a drill, right? And, you know, what you have is Briere getting open, and you know, Press gets the goal. But in front. But I mean, more importantly, I think it's not just the goal itself as much as it's the pressure, that entire shift. You know, I mean, Briere's dropped to the fourth line, right? Clearly not playing well. Gets the puck through. The Jets get nothing in the way of defensive pressure, nothing in the way of any kind of, like, one of the biggest noticeable things really in the first period was the fact that the Habs are just hitting whatever seam they wanted to. Cross ice. Whatever they needed, they were just hitting it, cutting, and the Jets had no answer for it. And the Habs controlled along the boards, and that's more so skating than it is, you know, physicality. But they were outskating the Jets, and you mentioned the Jets came out flat, and boom, 1-0, and it's so much easier to play in this league when you're ahead. And the Habs, especially with their ability to close gaps quickly, you know, people will talk, oh, the Jets made it play better in the second and third period. Well, they're down 2-0. And the Habs can do what they want because there's no pressure. Carey Price tonight looked completely in control at all times. You know, aside from Andrew Ladd's two chances there, maybe Scheifele, but Scheifele looked in control. And aside from Andrew Ladd's two chances, really, I mean, Price looked like he was having a, you know, a Sunday skate.
Yeah, for the first 10 minutes, the Habs really, really took it to the Jets. And you saw that when PK Subban scored the second goal of the game. I mean, they were, it was after a power play. I think it was first of Evander Kane's three minor penalties today, where they worked it around. I mean, the Habs did what they did. They just passed all over the Jets where they were skating it and really couldn't get organized. And that was one of the most impressive one-timers I've seen here since the Jets came back at MTS Center. It was Desharnais to Subban at the top of the blue line, and Andre Pavlik really had no chance on that one.
Well, Pavlik had no chance because, as you mentioned, Michael, Subban's bomb from the blue line was as impressive as you've seen. That popped out of the net as almost as quickly as it went in. But, again, you're talking defensive coverage. You're talking about getting in the way. And the Habs set up and the Habs power play, I mean, for the most part, looked really good tonight. I know that was an even strength goal. But, I mean, Subban cutting to the middle like that and the one-timer is very much his power play kind of play, right? And the Jets, again, you know, it's hard to get in the way of that shot, but you're not going to get in the way. You're going to let him have the seam. You're going to give him the pass, and he's going to one-time it. And it's hard for Pavlik to move around and catch the puck that quickly. And again, I'm not so much concerned about the goal, the two goals tonight they allowed that weren't empty netters, as much as it's just the overall execution, the fact that they can't sustain any pressure offensively. They can't make more than three passes in a row. Fundamentally, the Jets have issues right now. And when they play good teams, and by the way, they haven't played that many good teams. Now, maybe Anaheim's record is good right now, and LA's obviously will slowly get there. But, you know, you beat Jersey. You get killed by Dallas. Dallas is all right. They're not great. So, you know, an Edmonton team has obviously struggled. So what are your wins over right now? New Jersey and Edmonton and LA.
And an LA team that really didn't play their best game here.
And they came in on a back-to-back. So I know early in the season, granted, but an Oilers team, shaky obviously right now, didn't have Nugent Hopkins in that game. Dubnyk's been terrible. A Devils team that hasn't won yet, and an LA team, which is a good win. So, what, 3-4? Seven games, so you have three more games now at home.
Yeah, St. Louis is coming in here Friday, and they're
fine with that.
That's going to be a tough game for the Jets. They're one of the top teams in the conference and in the division. I thought the first period, I mean, it was really just back and forth with penalties, it seemed. The Jets really had no significant scoring chances except for the Trouba rush where he lost the puck at center and then turned up ice and dangled around a Canadiens defenseman had a great shot on Carey Price.
I thought best defenseman again, probably. I mean, you know, I thought Scheifele had a really good game up front, actually. Scheifele and Trouba might have been the two best players, aside from Ladd's two really good chances, and Pavlik was solid. I mean, aside from that, not much to write home about, eh? Like, it's...
The one other scoring chance the Jets had was in the second period. I forget who passed it to Trouba from down low, but Trouba to Frolik, who was cutting, who went for the back end, which Carey Price anticipated.
Now, again, that great touch by Trouba. But, you know, some will say we want Trouba to shoot that because the team is... And that's one thing. If you watch tonight's game, what you notice is overpassing. And why do you overpass? You overpass because you lack confidence. You overpass because a simple play doesn't do it for you because you don't think it's going to work. And it's a classic case. This team needs to get back to shooting. And there was lots of chances to shoot today. Ladd was overpassing. Wheeler overpasses. He probably overpasses all the time, especially now.
Wheeler's had a few draw passes just to nobody.
And that's no confidence, right, Michael? Like, what's happening is he doesn't think when he takes it to the net he'll be successful. So what he's doing is he's trying to find something else to make it work. And you know, when you're feeling the pressure and when you're not, it's not going, the brakes aren't going for you. And you mentioned earlier, really a 1-0 game against Jersey, no goals tonight.
Yeah.
What was it against Dallas? One goal?
One goal.
So in reality, you've scored...
One goal that was, you know, after they're already down 4-0
right.
in the last remaining minutes.
So you're talking like two goals. I mean, I guess you want to count third goal of the last game, but two goals over the past three games. How are you going to win?
And that's a big question. I mean, Andrei Pavlik, I thought... After the first two goals, he was great. He did what he had to do.
Yeah.
But they weren't able to put anything on the board. And we talked about those, you know, four really good scoring chances. I mean, the Jets outshot the Canadiens tonight. But it seemed like all their shots...
He made a huge save on Galchenyuk later, too, to keep him in the game. It would have been 3-0 and over.
Sorry, all their shots, though, were from, you know, from the outside. I mean, if you look at their shot chart tonight, there would be very few in the slot. And they're all from, you know, Kane walking in and just shooting it from the blue line or shooting it from, you know, the sideboards, just anywhere, you know, not in the slot area where you would see the most, you know, goals traditionally happen.
The Habs were a team that, by the way, looked great on Saturday night against Vancouver and played lesser competition tonight, I'd say, and looked really good. I'll point out one other thing. Pacioretty doesn't get hurt, they probably lose worse because he looked good in those first couple shifts. He controlled the puck a lot. I don't know if he was on the ice for that first goal, but I'm checking right now. If he was on the ice for that first goal, he was not, but he certainly was contributing in that offensive zone significantly. So a break for the Jets because then they had to move their lines around. Bork was playing different places, Plekanec, and you know. The Jets don't lose one of their top don't lose a 25-30 goal score in this game today, and still can't blow it out. So, I think discouraging. And you got St. Louis, Nashville, Washington. I think you probably got to run the table here to be at least somewhat satisfied. I think we said before this whole 8 out of 10 at home was that they need to go 6-4 at least. So, they haven't got one game to overtime this year, so you don't get any of those cheap points. But it's gonna be tough.
Yeah, the Jets are definitely. In tough here, and going forward, they have to stop the trend of just coming out completely flat. I mean, we saw it last year, we saw it in so many games this year. When you put yourself in a hole early, it's hard to dig yourself out of it.
Try coming back in the NHL. Your point's well taken. Because try coming back, it's hard. Teams trap all the time, really. But they are able to play a game, especially against a team like Montreal, when all their game is transition. Mistake, boom, speed the other way, create scoring chance. And they had a lot of those. You know, Bufflin was trying to force it a bit today. As always, he was kind of coasting. He didn't look very good. And, you know, some of the guys have their flashes, but nothing special. So if you're a Jets team, you don't anticipate any changes, really, coaching-wise, and I think it's too early for that. Player-wise, I don't know if it's too early for that, but I don't anticipate one. And then I think what happens after that is it's the players and it's, you know, it's internal.
Well, and you talk about should they call someone up, should they not? I mean, I think the issue here is that the top players aren't producing.
That's
Where has Blake Wheeler been in the first few games? I mean, Brian Little, Andrew Ladd, these guys were the top line last year, and I mean, they haven't been able to score. And I think, you know, calling someone up who's going to play on the fourth line is pretty irrelevant.
Irrelevant. And I mean, I don't know what those we didn't get the final game sheet, but I'm not sure what the fifth and sixth D got tonight, Stewart and...
Stewart is 14-13, Paul Postma 9-51.
So, I mean, those guys are hardly playing at all anyways, and they're relying on those top four, and those top four can eat minutes.
Yeah, you got Jacob Trouba at 23-14. Dustin Byfuglien led the Jets 28-03. That's probably the highest of the year for any Jet. And Enstrom 22-58, Bogosian 21-48. So they did ride those guys. Before we sign off here, I mean, two things from this game. Evander Kane, three minor penalties. I mean, do you look into anything there?
Yeah, undisciplined play. What, the second and third, those hooks? You know, you got hooking at the end. You got hooking midway through the second and hooking in the third. Lazy penalties, holding, lazy. The first one was holding, lazy penalties. You know, the part that bothers me the most about the third penalty is it was exactly the same as the second penalty. And it's just like, stop getting your stick in the hands of the opposing team. Never mind the fact that that was in the offensive zone. Never mind the fact that you're one of the best skaters in the National Hockey League. The last thing you really should need to do is hook. And what about Little's penalty into the game? You're grasping at straws to try and come back. You got some pressure. You had a late power play. Could do nothing on it. It's garbage. And then you're trying to come back, you know, get a late goal, put a rush like Boston did yesterday in Detroit. People caught that game. They score with a minute and a half left, and they pressure at the end of the game. Little takes a stupid penalty. So discipline. And again, you can blame the coaches for the discipline all you want, and people generally do. And I think some of that blame must fall on the coach's shoulders. But, you know, Brian Little, top-line center. Evander Kane, supposed to be the 35 goal scorer. Quote-unquote, some of these guys are supposed to be leaders. That's not leadership. Leadership, that's talk is cheap, because that's nothing there.
Yeah, the Jets' power play looked very good against New Jersey and really didn't look like it looked last year against the Canadians, who the Jets historically have had trouble against since they moved back to Winnipeg. And before, last thing here, before we finish off.
But before you finish it off, the reason that they play poorly against the Habs, one reason is the Jets can skate. So lots of these guys can skate. The Habs can skate better. So the Jets don't play physical. So the Jets are playing a kind of a quasi-speed game against a team that's faster, a team that's not physical, but neither are they. Who has the advantage?
Makes sense. And the last thing, you know, the Jets sent Michael Frolik in the offseason. You know, he played the penalty kill in the Stanley Cup Champions Blackhawks. He played about 11 minutes today. Didn't really see any time on the penalty kill at all. I mean, what do you see there?
You know, I haven't focused a ton on it, Michael, to be honest, but I just find it odd that a team that, you know, penalty killing, and again, they didn't allow a power play goal that night, granted, but I find that to be an odd fix, because one of the reasons they trumpeted bringing him in was because of the penalty kill, and to not utilize him in that respect is peculiar decision. You have to wonder, I mean, like, he can move around pretty good, so, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but who else is really stepping up? And I mean, is that the biggest issue? There are other ones. It's an interesting observation. I'm going to watch out for that more.
Yeah, and that's it for the Legal Curve post-game podcast. We'll definitely have more on this game and the rest of the goings-on in the NHL tomorrow night. That's Wednesday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on TSN 1290 with NHL Midweek. For Richard Pollock, I'm your host Michael Remus, and Dave Minuk sitting next to us in the press box, and Ezra Ginsberg as well, who took in the game with us here. So that's it. Thank you for listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. Good night and good luck.